Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Hey, hey, it's another episode of Eat Your Words on Heritage. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and it's a beautiful beginning of spring here in Brooklyn, so I'm very excited to have guests who will help you party appropriately for warm weather. They're the authors of a new book called Ultimate Nachos, and they're the founders of Nachos NY. It's a great blog and party series and cook-off series. It's Lee Frank and Rachel Anderson. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good.
Cool. So congrats on the book. This is a big project. You guys have been doing Nachos NY, your blog and series of events for like 4 years or so? Or
almost we just five. Had our fifth Guactacular.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Guactacular is a cook-off.
Yeah, we give a bunch of people about 35 to 40 avocados and tell them to make the best guacamole they can come up with.
Who wouldn't want to do that? That's awesome. It's such a unique cook-off because most people think of guacamole as like a few things, but I've been there and I've seen it and people come up with some pretty crazy stuff. So, and you know, also with nachos, I like the term nachos because, you know, it's like a blank canvas. You can really put anything on it. How did nachos start out though? What does that exactly mean? And what's the history of nachos?
The nacho was named after their creator, Ignacio Anaya, who long, long time ago, not that long ago actually, but back in 1943, there was some army wives that wandered into the restaurant he was a maitre d' at.
Was this in Mexico?
This was in Piedras Negras, Mexico.
Okay.
It's a small border town. These army wives wandered in and the kitchen was already closed. So he went into the kitchen and he scrounged together all the things he could find. And he found, you know, some tortillas that he could fry up with, and there was cheese, and he found some jalapenos, and the army wives just loved it.
That's awesome. So it's the original nacho supreme. Because, you know, there's chips. Obviously, we know fried tortilla chips. It's a great way to use up the old stale tortillas for the next day. And those are used in like things like chilaquiles, you know, a baked dish, which is sort of similar to nachos, would you say?
We call them cousins, I think.
And we do have a recipe for that in the book, too. Kenji Alt from Serious Eats contributed a chilaquiles recipe
nice.
As well.
Nice. Cool. So yeah. So there's so many nachos. There's breakfast nachos here that looks similar. Or maybe like something more like huevos rancheros. I'm not sure.
We actually don't have that. I don't think we have a huevos rancheros.
Then a lot of like nacho platters are more like salad-like, you know, with like just a lot of fresh stuff mixed all around there, and the nachos kind of serve like croutons almost, like a crunchy.
Maybe
thing.
I think they serve more like the lettuce bed.
This one looks like, okay, you're right.
Or like bruschetta a little bit.
Yeah.
How do you eat nachos without becoming a slobbering mess?
Some of the nachos there that we have for sure can make you into a slobbering mess. And we sometimes encourage forks and knives. But a lot of the ones we came up with are also pretty individually plated and easy to pick up right away.
But that's no... I mean, it seems like nachos, you have to get a little messy. Like, that's the whole point of it.
We have some that are like that. Like, a lot of the ones that we developed early on, like our buffalo chicken one and Philly cheesesteak, we did for when we were watching sports together. So we have different recipes for different occasions.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It seems like almost any, you know, holiday can have a nachos dish that, you know, Thanksgiving nachos, turkey and cranberry and... Is that even in here? Or am I just
not? We didn't,
that's
not in the
sequel.
Edition.
It's yeah.
We didn't
in the
put
sequel.
It in that one because we didn't know what cheese we'd want to use. Because we were like every time that I was trying to put it together, I couldn't figure out what kind of cheese I wanted to have on that
gravy. Who needs cheese?
It kind of we like to keep some sort of cheese going on in there.
I see. So that's a essential. So do you bake them after, you know, like it's all assembled, or is that, I'm not sure. Because I've seen it done, right?
Bake nachos?
Yeah, like to assemble the whole platter and then kind of like bake it off so that it kind of melds.
Yep, especially if it's a shredded cheese, like shredded cheddar or something like that. We put it under the broiler for most of the recipes.
Yeah.
A lot of the cheese sauce recipes, we just add the cheese sauce after.
Oh, cheese sauce.
Yeah, we do a bechamel cheese sauce in there.
Like a mornay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is like chock full of ideas to get really creative and have a beautiful party platter. What's your favorite?
It's kind of a tie. I guess I would go with the buffalo chicken nachos, just because I grew up in Western New York, so buffalo buffalo wings were a big thing. And that was one of the first recipes that I ever wrote and was put on the website probably 3 years ago now.
Is that like shredded chicken with like a tangy spicy sauce?
Yep. We just poached chicken. So there's a poached chicken recipe in there, and then use Frank's Red Hots and butter. That's really all it is. And blue cheese sauce, celery.
So you got your crunch from the nachos, and you got that sauce.
And that one's messy. That one's fun.
How about you, Lee?
I think that one of my favorites, if we're just talking about the nacho recipes and not the other ones in there, is probably, I like the pepperoni pizza one. It's a little more assembled. Easy to do.
That sounds great.
Yeah, every bite pretty much gets the same.
Yeah.
You spice up a tomato sauce. You add a little pepperoni if you want to have that. Basil, like a nice big basil leaf on each chip.
Of course. Why not? Nice. It's
magical.
So how did you guys come to focus your writing careers and just food obsessions on nachos 4 years ago or so?
Well, Rachel got lucky, and she just fell right into it, because I happened to be a nacho lover for years.
Ever?
10, yeah. 20, 30, 50 years, maybe. I like nachos so much that...
Your other lives.
Yeah, my other lives, I like nachos a lot. The first time I really realized it is that I had been talking about nachos so much in college that this girl I was dating at the time... handmade me this I love nacho shirt, which lives on to this day.
Huh.
It makes it to every Guoctacular.
And became your identity,
Became my identity. Introduced me to my fiance also.
What? The same shirt?
The same shirt.
It wasn't the same girl?
Different girl.
That's so amazing. So what were your college day like nacho? Were they anything like the recipes that we're seeing here in this book? Were there differences, fundamental differences? Less?
Yeah, they were very different. They were probably involved more microwaves, more buying them at restaurants and
being
disappointed.
A lot of creativity, a lot of like fresh ingredients in interesting combinations. There's the I love this one, the vegan white bean queso sauce. That's beautiful, creamy white bean blend instead of cheese or something.
Mm-hmm.
That one was contributed to us by Brooklyn Salsa.
Oh, nice.
Their recipes.
And you know, some of them I see the more composed ones, like the Reuben nachos, and those are individual bites that are, it's kind of like a crostini, like you stack them on each nacho.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend people frying their own nachos for the best results, or is that...
That's one of the first recipes in the book, is just how to make your own chips. I think people will see it and be surprised. Some people will be surprised how easy it is.
Okay. And it's
how
way
delicious
better,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. It's really great.
Way tastier, fresher. You know, you sometimes get that in restaurants where they make their own chips, and I think it makes a big difference from the bagged ones, which are usually coated with some, like, very fine dust of a lot of salt, which I'm not a fan of.
And when you make them yourself, you can put, you know, cayenne on them if you want, or if you want to do a dessert nacho, you can do, like, a cinnamon sugar dusting on them, and they still taste really good. So you can kind of control...
Right. You could put, you can squeeze your own lime on it, unlike the ones that, that purport to have lime, fine
lime.
Dust.
Yeah.
I can't stand that. What, why?
We don't have a recipe for chemical dust.
Yeah, I like how you don't have a recipe for that kind of, I guess, let's say, use of the word nachos. You know, we've all heard of the big, you know, Frito-Lay versions of it, which are, come in a bag, and you don't have... You don't say anything about it. That's not a nacho.
I think we do say some things about it. Nothing nice.
Lee has a few rants in there about what chips.
Yeah,
you
have we have a chips you shouldn't use section in a. Yeah, I talked about scoops for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like them.
Yeah, what they're just kind of those basket shapes, right?
Yeah, I actually got in a fight with Dan Pashman the other week from the Sporkful. Because he's decided that it's an innovation to take the scoops and turn them upside down and make them into dome chips, and use that as the receptacle for guacamole.
Dome chips?
Yeah, so turn it upside down so it's a dome.
So you put a glop of the guacamole on top of that, but then
it might be
really
an innovation, but it still doesn't seem that great.
Oh. I think those scoops, they're always just broken anyway, so it's just like a regular chip in the end.
It's true.
Unless you get
a small chip,
ones.
Too, because they're only like the size of a quarter almost.
I don't know. So more about the chips, though. What about making the tortillas? No? Is that something you've... I don't see it nearby.
We didn't outline that.
Yeah. I did it a little bit and then just kind of scrapped the idea for the book because it is very, very labor intensive. It looks so easy to do, but it's just very,
I know,
very tricky to get a tortilla press, plastic, you know, using
you have to get
wrap.
The press. Yeah.
And so for people, like, you can go get a bag of them at the store for a dollar and make
the fresh corn tortillas.
Yeah. And make so many, like, three times the amount that you would get for that same price in a bag. So we just stuck with that because already we were kind of asking people to do a lot to make their own chips.
Right. Yeah, you know, but it's important just to know that and to stick with the corn, the fresh corn tortillas, not the flour ones.
Yeah, no flour tortilla chips.
That's another no-no.
Yeah, that was one thing when we went and started to write the book, how surprised, like, some people were that nachos are gluten-free. And we're like, it's because you don't use flour tortillas.
There's no flour.
So most of our recipes are gluten-free as well.
Oh, that's right. Corn is totally gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the toppings here obviously are going to be. You have a lot of different cuisines, not just Mexican. I mentioned the Reuben one. There's a pizza one. What is the most far-out iteration, in your opinions? Like, how far did the nacho travel for this book?
I think some of the dessert ones are kind of far off, but still obvious
delicious.
When you look at them.
Yeah, chocolate dipped. Yeah, sweet and salty. A little bit of salt. You know, poached pear. That sounds good.
Yeah, the nacho panna cotta one is probably the really strange one that started to taste absolutely gross and then finally brought it around to just using sweet corn and jalapeno jelly.
I see the photo for the nachos panna cotta, but where are the nachos? Are they like crushed up?
It's a sweet corn base, so we soaked the cream and milk base in corn for a couple hours and then made a jalapeno sweet jelly at the base. So.
Oh my god. So the nacho is in the panna cotta. It's like this corn kind of pudding type of thing.
Yeah.
And no way.
The first time that I made that, I actually steeped crushed up corn tortilla chips in heavy cream and it was really gross.
So out of the box, though. Well, congrats on figuring that recipe out.
Yeah.
It looks great.
I was determined to get that in the book.
I would eat that for sure. So I guess gotten a little sense of how far you guys have gone with your nachos exploration. Let's talk a little bit more about that and more fun stuff you're planning right after a quick little musical interlude.
You're listening to It Ain't Hard to Tell by the California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Please don't say you love me when you do how you do. Please don't say you care. Girl, I know you've been untrue. Well, it ain't hard to tell.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
When you do how you do, please don't say you care. Girl, I know you've been untrue. It ain't hard to tell. You've been seeing somebody new. When you kiss and hug me the way he wants you to, I said the way he wants you to.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor, to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
All right, we're back with the founders of Nachos NY, Lee and Rachel, the authors also of their new cookbook, all about nachos, called Ultimate Nachos, from nachos and guacamole to salsas and cocktails. Very, very fun, user-friendly book with those basics like salsa, guacamole, and chips. But speaking of guacamole, you guys have an event coming up that's quite an annual tradition.
Yeah, I understand. It's our fourth annual Guac Rock Boat Cruise. We get a boat and go along the East River for 3 hours. We have three bands. And we always ask the winners of Guactacular to come serve their guac with the
champs.
Boat. Yeah, so they get to enjoy the boat cruise and share their guac with everybody again.
Oh, cool.
And then we probably have like around, anywhere between 5 and 9 different guacs, depending on who shows up. It's been a great event. It's
that
rained
sounds
every
awesome.
Yeah, it rains every year while we're out in the water.
Oh,
and
no.
People love it. People go crazy for when it starts raining and they're upstairs dancing in the rain.
It's a covered boat.
It's a covered boat, yeah. It's a big, like, 300 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fit. And
yeah, and last year we...
It's like packed. It's like sold out.
Everywhere. Yeah, and last year we actually had too many people, which was a weird occurrence because we didn't expect to have too many people. We had to kick some people had to volunteer to leave.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was even sadder for us to see these people. Who were like,
I see.
Hey, yeah, it's okay if we go.
So what are the bands that, do you know who's going to be? Because I know it's actually in July, so there's some
time.
Yeah,
so it's in July 22nd. On July 22nd, we just sort of
nailed it down,
and we don't have any of the bands yet. Some of the bands that have played before have been North Highlands, The Beats, So Glows, American Darlings. We had a band from Philadelphia drive up called Dry Feet the first year.
Nice. And then our friend Dan's band, The Fine Machines.
The Fine Machines have played too. So it's an eclectic mix of bands.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Guac rock.
Then we have a DJ sometimes too. So we just want to have a bunch of people on the boat.
And
it's
like,
really good time.
When you're in New York, it's like you can do things on a boat, on a cruise. And like, just, yeah, why not?
And it's for some people, it's also the closest you get to going to the Statue of Liberty because we loop right around it or right by it.
Oh, right. Yeah,
so
okay.
It's a pretty good view, especially at night. Nobody else is really there.
Yeah. Wow, it sounds like they're doing some construction out there in the backyard of Roberta's here. Thump. Oh, okay. So we're okay. There's no dust flying on us yet. So you just had the Guactacular, though. That's also another annual event, and that's the cook-off. And I know you guys changed it up a little bit this year. You had amateurs in their own competition and then professionals, mm-hmm. which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we wanted to expand it because this is our fifth year doing it, so we wanted to figure out how to go big.
Right.
So we separated. We did a three-hour competition with amateurs. Only like two people had competed before that. I'd want to say it was two people.
It was not a lot of repeats. Yeah, it was mm-hmm. mostly new faces.
Oh, cool.
And then people that competed in the evenings were Brooklyn Salsa, Fanny Garrison from La Neoyorquina, Bogota,
Oaxaca Tacos, Chancho's Tacos. Yeah, lots
Brooklyn
of companies.
Taco.
Didn't you say Mexico? No, did you say Mexico?
Mexico did not. No, no, they were Mexico. There, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mexico's food truck was parked outside the Bell House.
Oh, okay.
Dos Caminos also competed and some other.
So how much guacamole did you guys eat?
Yeah, I would say more than usual.
A lot more than usual.
Because we've had more time to just breathe, whereas the past years where it's just a three-hour event, it just goes by so fast that you don't even. People come in, they just rush the tables, and everybody's out within an hour. And you
That's amazing. Because, you know, whenever I see guacamole on a party platter, I
just dive for it.
Yeah. Because it's not going to last. But that's a unique experience. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the sage brown butter artichoke nachos. Who came up with that one? Because that sounds really good and it looks good.
Yeah, that one was mine. We have a pizza place near us called Barbancino, and they always make a pancetta artichoke and brown butter. Or no, sage. They don't do brown butter in it, but it's sage pizza. And so that was kind of how I wanted to put that into a nacho. Because that's kind of how we approached some of the recipes was... Mm-hmm. Picking our favorite food, and sometimes pizza is used as a similar vehicle as nachos, and so taking like the toppings from a pizza and turning it into a nacho is very easy to do.
Oh, and who did this nice little asparagus and what is this hollandaise sauce and ham and asparagus nachos?
This lady, Kathy, I think is her name. I don't remember. I'm not sure if that's the right first name.
Well, I would eat that. That looks tasty. In fact, I did eat it.
How much testing did you do for that one?
You know, I just kind of, I put together my hollandaise sauce recipe and figured that the, you know, asparagus would crisp nicely in a little, like, oven with the nachos. So I kind of just winged it. But it was good.
Yeah, that's a, people do tell us that that's a great looking one and delicious sounding one as well.
Hey, it's asparagus season right now, too.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
And we didn't get any ramps in.
You didn't get any ramps?
Not into the book.
Oh, in the book. Okay.
Yeah, we missed the season pretty much completely.
No, I think it's still going. The book.
The book went into print far too early.
Yeah,
for
those
us
are
to get
a little.
Ramps.
Those are kind of specific to season, but I like how it's arranged, kind of by. How is it arranged? Actually, no. They're all the more like saucy recipes are up at the front. Okay, got it.
No,
it's like small bites. We arranged it by breakfast and small bites, like kind of appetizery lunch section, and then the main courses, which would be the bigger ones mm-hmm. that we do.
And then dessert.
So what nachos are not just an appetizer. They're the whole main course.
They can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're an ambitious eater, for sure. If you want to eat, a platter of buffalo chicken nachos by yourself.
Yeah, the serving suggestions are just suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now you guys have a legit cookbook. It looks beautiful. What's next for Nachos NY?
I think the next thing we're going to do is probably a movie.
Nice.
And then probably a deep breath and think about nachos. I think
like
until
a documentary? Like what kind of movie?
Did you say movie?
I don't know.
Oh.
I was just joking.
I was kidding. There's no movie as far as we know.
Fine.
But maybe a movie, documentary.
Okay.
But the next, I think we're just coming back to probably reappreciating nachos a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of writing the book, I think we're a little tired of nachos, and now I've been ready to go back and eat a lot more nachos.
Nice, yeah.
So maybe after this, after we're done here.
Right. And oh, yeah, totally. I mean, now that you're at a pizza place, you can be inspired by whatever toppings they have going on at Roberta's and reinvent them to great lengths. I'm just like, I'm just so impressed because most people think of nachos as like, okay, ground beef or something really, and I don't like that stuff, or like sour cream, you know, and some of these like just are really my style, and it just shows that you can make anything your own. Like just take a dish that you didn't think that you may have liked even to begin with and really make it your own. So,
and nachos are just that good vehicle for that, just because it's some, it can be just such a blank canvas. I mean, you can do whatever you really want to. We don't have any rules anymore. We found
Not really.
We found out writing the book that there's all of our rules that we wrote and snarky web posts that we put up, we kind of threw away at one point.
We still have our lettuce rule. That's for sure. That lives on.
What's the lettuce rule?
Oh, that we hate lettuce, especially iceberg lettuce on our nachos.
Got it. Yeah, I totally forgot about that existence, and I don't see any iceberg lettuce throughout the photos.
Nope.
You will not.
Ah, what is another, like, rule?
In my chips rules, other than the scoops, I also talk about not having red and green chips, because usually when you get those, it's a food coloring thing. So I don't think you need to add in color on your chips, because if you want to have red and green, there's obviously tomatoes, there's cilantro, any way to get there naturally.
I haven't seen green ones, but I definitely had seen the red ones, and now you mention it, yeah, those are totally food coloring. I mean, it can't be anything else. They're like red 40. It's like super bright.
Right.
But the blue chips, are those okay?
Yeah, blue chips, they come from blue corn. You can also find, you know, red corn chips, but those are not red corn chips when you see
I
them.
I see.
Usually.
Interesting. So, but the blue ones, those are also okay because you don't see too many blue ingredients like blueberries that you would put on nachos.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think we had any blueberries, do we?
No, we don't.
So keeping it real and wholesome and just real ingredients. I like that. I like that. I like where nachos are going, thanks to you guys' rules and traditions. So what's another, like, spring right now? What are you guys cooking? It doesn't have to be nachos if you're sick of it. Like, what's a favorite go-to dish right now?
Well, I've been doing way too much with rhubarb now. Been
baking?
Yeah, a lot of baking. I work at Robicelli's making cupcakes. So yesterday it was like strawberry rhubarb compote.
Nice.
Cupcakes on an oat cake. And this morning was strawberry rhubarb crisps. Tomorrow's rhubarb polenta cake. It's kind of all we have in the fridge right now.
Nice.
So.
You're right. Rhubarb is one of those things that everyone gets obsessed about for a few weeks and then boom.
Forget
about it. How about you, Lee?
I'm trying and hopefully diving into grilling very shortly. I just got a backyard. So. Trying to make good use of it. So I think that's going to be the food I make the most. Otherwise, I'm stuck on perfecting my cup of coffee, I guess.
So it sounds like you guys will have a fun Memorial Day coming up. And I definitely want to create some of these nachos at some of my friends' parties over the Memorial Day and 4th of July coming up, too. So busy season of food partying to come. And thank you so much for all the advice and for the wonderful recipes.
Thank you.
That's about all the time we have for today, but tune in next week for Eat Your Words, and we'll be here again talking with more food cookbook authors.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world, or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.